Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. A new and ominous sign this morning in the Lithuania independence crisis, the Soviet Union has partially closed its border between Lithuania and Poland. With Soviet troops massed in the breakaway republic, correspondent Barry Peterson reports Lithuanian leaders still hope to talk their way out of a Kremlin crackdown.
Lithuania's deputy prime minister arrived in Moscow by the overnight train, full of optimism and compromise, but frankly, not a lot of hope. He is optimistic that Mikhail Gorbachev may open negotiations with the Lithuanians. The compromise is that Lithuanians are willing to talk about anything, they emphasize, except that declaration of independence. But that is the one issue that Gorbachev says must be withdrawn before he starts talks. Indeed, Gorbachev sent another message of his own today, a TASS report that army patrols along Lithuania's border are being strengthened. So there is little hope that the Lithuanian negotiators will break through what they have come to call the Kremlin's concrete wall of silence. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
Bulgaria's National Assembly has elected Peter Mladenov to the new post of president. He led last November's bloodless coup against hardliner Todar Zhivkov. Israel today launched its second spy satellite and signaled Iraq's President Saddam Hussein it is not intimidated by his threat to attack with chemical weapons. Lawrence Rifkin has more.
Labor Party leader Shimon Peres is trying to set up Israel's next government and believes his nation is prepared for any external threat, including one of chemical warfare. However, Peres said it would be wiser to stay away from rhetoric, preferring instead to say that Israel's best option against Iraq is the peace process.
The real answer to all the military equipment and threats is a political answer, not a military one.
But other Israeli leaders were more blunt. Former and perhaps future Defense Minister Yitzhak Rabin, for instance, warned that Israel has the capability to strike back at the Iraqis many times over. Rabin wouldn't say how, but it's long been believed that Israel can deliver chemical and even nuclear weapons of its own to just about anywhere in the Middle East. Lawrence Rifkin, CBS News, Jerusalem.
As Hindus paraded through the streets of Batala in India's troubled Punjab state, a bomb went off, killing at least 10 people and wounding 50. Officials suspect Sikh separatists. A condemned California killer's date with death has come and gone, angering capital punishment advocates. Ron Allen reports.
Once again, Robert Alton Harris has escaped California's gas chamber. The frustration was evident among state officials ready to carry out the first execution here in 23 years. Governor George Jugmajan.
Why should it go back to the state Supreme Court three or four times? Why should it go back to the United States Supreme Court four or five times? It's ridiculous.
Harris has been on death row more than a decade, sentenced for the 1978 murders of two San Diego teenagers. He has now avoided four execution dates. Dorothy Ehrlich of the American Civil Liberties Union.
Clearly, Robert Harris should not be executed knowing that there was information that was kept from the jury at the time of his trial.
The courts must now review more evidence about Harris's mental condition when he committed the murders. For now, he'll continue living on death row. Ron Allen, CBS News, San Francisco.
The trains and buses are rolling again this morning in Buffalo, New York, after a two-day shutdown of the money-starved transit system. As Brian Meyer reports from affiliate WBEN, the politicians patched together a rescue package.
The new four-year plan was finally hammered out, and the buses and trains began running again this morning. Bus driver Mike Krebs is relieved.
It's a monkey off her back.
Erie County officials imposed a new tax on real estate sales to help finance the package. The tax is already being blasted by some. But legislator Len Lenihan says sometimes elected leaders must take unpopular stands.
That's what this process is all about, sticking your neck out to help the community.
The shutdown caused major problems for thousands of residents. Brian Meyer for CBS News, Buffalo.
After weeks of debate and negotiations, the Senate is set for a final vote late today on tighter clean air standards. The goal, protecting our lungs without damaging the economy. Linda Tyra reports.
Today's vote comes 1 month after Senate leaders and the White House reached a cleaner compromise, ending a more than decade-long dispute over reducing air pollution and acid rain. Passage of the bill is considered a safe bet after the Senate rejected the two biggest amendments, one by West Virginia's Robert Byrd to extend benefits to coal miners who would lose their jobs because of mandatory pollution controls. The other amendment, pushed by environmentalists as a litmus test of their strength, was offered by Colorado's Tim Wirth and California's Pete Wilson. It would have significantly tightened auto emission standards. Linda Tyra, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Two high-level Japanese emissaries have rushed to Washington to see Secretary of State Baker today and President Bush tomorrow about a possible breakthrough in U.S.-Japan trade talks. Eric Engberg reports.
U.S. officials negotiating a major new trade agreement with Japan said last night that considerable progress had been made, but declined to be specific. The two sides are scheduled to continue meetings today in an effort to complete a report that will indicate what steps both countries are willing to take to reduce the huge trade deficit the U.S. now runs with Japan. The talks are different than previous trade discussions because each side is critiquing what it sees as weaknesses in the other's economic structure. The U.S., for example, has complained that Japan sells its own goods cheaply at home to finance economic expansion abroad. The Japanese shot back that Americans use too many credit cards and don't save enough. The U.S. has warned that Japan faces trade sanctions if some progress isn't made in the talks. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Washington.
The gooey fuel spill on Pennsylvania's Allegheny River has forced Pittsburgh officials to filter river water. They did not have to close intake valves at the city's water treatment plant. At the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, basketball fans cheering their team's NCAA championship rout of Duke in Denver. Jim Nance covered the game.
It was the biggest blowout in championship game history. A 103-73 victory for the Runnin' Rebels, who led by 12 at halftime, and Duke was never able to get closer than 11 in the second half. Anderson Hunt had 29 points. Jerry Tarkanian has won his first national championship.
This win is for the kids, but it's mostly is for the great people in the state of Nevada. The whole state supports us, and I'm just so happy for them.
UNLV is the king of the college basketball world. Jim Nance for CBS News, Denver.
The Final Four also marked the end of Brent Musburger's 22 years at CBS, and at the end of the CBS TV coverage, he tipped his hat to his fans.
Folks, I've had the best seat in the house. Thanks for sharing it. I'll see you down the road.
CBS dropped Musburger after a contract dispute over money and high-profile assignments. General Motors President and Chief Operating Officer Robert Stempel, who started 32 years ago as an Oldsmobile designer, will take over as chairman of the world's biggest corporation. That word this morning from Roger Smith, who's retiring. The government's crystal ball index of leading indicators fell 1% in February, analysts blaming a drop in building permits. After falling in Tokyo, the dollar is lower in European trading, the London gold fixing nearly $6 higher, and the Dow is up 9.5. It's 7:10.